This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, hello to all my automotive aftermarket peoples. It's Carm Capriato, Aftermarket Weekly from Remarkable Results Radio. It's week 158. I'm with John Ferguson from Domestic Diesel and Auto Service. Hey, John.
How's it going?
I'm great. Thank you for coming on. And you know what? Just before we do this, thank you so much. Dorman, let's hear about one of their great products.
Dorman Products creates hundreds of new automotive replacement products every month. Part of what makes Dorman so unique is their ideation of new and innovative products. They have dedicated teams all across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada looking for new product ideas. Since every solution starts with a problem, these teams of researchers, field analysts, product specialists, and contributors consistently visit repair shops and make field calls. Now, this is to best understand the problems the industry is facing. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Other times, experts take it an additional step, further solving what made the original part problematic in the first place. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
I know that Kim and Brian Walker were visiting your place, and they said, ooh, we got to take some video. We'll shoot it, and we'll send it up to Carm and Tracy, and we'll have John on an Aftermarket Weekly show. We haven't done a shop tour in a few weeks. On and off, we've been doing them. But thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. How long have you been in business?
Actually, around 2009.
2009. What'd you do before that?
I was a dealer technician for Ford.
You worked for Ford in a dealership.
I wrote service for a while, but mainly I was a senior master tech, not particularly specializing in diesel. That just kind of came along. There was a need and I filled the need. I worked at the same dealership for a long, long time. Moved around a little bit. The economy really started tanking 08, 09. I started doing so many side jobs and I just became really good at Power Stroke product, particularly teamed up with a company, Bulletproof Diesel. They kind of set me on the path doing EGR cooler and other 6.0 repairs by supplying me with a solution to the OE. Then from there, it was just kind of born. I'm really good at what I do. So I thought if I could help people and make a living, pay my bills, I started off in a real small shop, went to a little bit of a bigger shop, another little bit of a bigger shop, which led us into our current shop here. And as you grow and grow and you have more employees, more customers, then you realize, you know, it takes a little more than just being really good at what you do. You have to kind of expand your horizons.
There's so many out there struggling, and John was kind of alluding to it, that he loved what he did. He loved being a tech, especially diesel. And it seemed to me like every two or three years, you got the urge or the itch to either get a bigger place or to grow your company so you had more space. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll find out in a minute. But he was desperate to become a much better business person because he was really good technician, right?
Yeah, basically. And I stumbled across the ASOG group on Facebook, Auto Shop Owners Group, which actually led me to Aftermarket Radio, Remarkable Results. So a pretty big fan. I have to backtrack because I'm a late starter on it.
John, that's okay, because, you know, we do cover some of the topics that we've covered many years ago. And the beauty of us being able to do that is we can bring a fresh perspective on a topic that maybe we did cover 2 years ago that was important. We don't rehash the topics, but we bring different slants to them. So I'm not sure you have to go back and listen to 1,000 episodes. I've been looking at the content that we've been producing for the last couple of months. Don't ask me why. 2023 is this year of who knows if there's a recession, inflation's out of whack. There's so many layoffs that are going on. I'm sitting by the sidelines, John, probably just like you, wondering where are we headed?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, one thing I learned from listening to all the podcasts is I really, really got to stay focused on creating and maintaining my own environment, my own culture. And I can't really worry about what's going on around me and the division, the politics. It is what it is, but I really got to stay focused on the climate we create here with our customers, our employees, our community, our networking. That's really what we can control. We can't control much else outside that.
So, John, as you move to be a better leader and a stronger, smarter business person, you obviously need to replace yourself in the shop. Are you finding it difficult to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a dual challenge. One, you don't really want to give that up. It's kind of like your baby, you know, your kid. And then two, it's hard to find somebody as well. So I think the combination of the two makes it really hard. So it's hard to let go. And it's also hard to find not a person, because you really need a team of people working together and like lateral support system almost to replace the main key in the gear set.
Got it. Did you ever bring on a coach or a mentor at all?
I stumbled across Chris Cotton on your guys' program. So we're working with him right now. Shop Marketing Pros, we're working with them now. We have previously done zero marketing. Everything's kind of just happened organically. Like I think I mentioned before to you and Trace, you don't know what you don't know. And that's drilled into me. And I just think it all day long. That's all I think about is I really thought, because I'm such a good mechanic, I'm so good at what I do, I really thought I knew more than I did. And when I step back and kind of throw a different set of goggles or look through a different lens, I realized that I don't know a lot of stuff. Even joining like ASCCA and listening to the podcast, every time I listen to something, every meeting I go to, every dinner I go to, I don't learn just one thing. Like Rick says from 180 Biz, he harps on the just learn just one thing. I mean, I'm learning 10 things, 20 things, 5 things. It's always a multiple.
Well, you sound like me, John. I mean, it's been a bunch of years, maybe 25 or 30, that I made this commitment to be a perpetual student and always learn. And even if for what I do, I want to know how to run better businesses. I want to learn more about financial statements. Of course, I listen to Hunt Demarest all the time, and I thought I was pretty smart running multimillion-dollar operations, and I thought I knew everything until you sit down with Hunt Demarest for a few minutes. But I find myself wanting to learn something new every day. And if I don't, I really don't feel like I accomplished anything. And even if it's something out of my realm, and I scratch my head and I says, I always wondered how that worked. Were you ever like that?
Constantly. And I just had this conversation with a friend. We were talking this morning about school and education and college and stuff. And a lot of people don't know that I'm not, you know, I'm formally educated by way of automotive, working in the Ford dealerships. They sponsor me to go to the factory training. But before that, everything was school of hard knocks. So when you own a business, you make a mistake, it costs you money. If you have to do a refund, it costs you money. But more commonly would be some sort of mistake was made. And for customer satisfaction reasons, you're unwinding a deal, redoing it. And all I could say is it costs money to go to school. You're going to pay one way or another. You're going to pay up front. If you're going to go into a university, if you want to do the school of hard knocks, it's going to cost you money in the end.
John, I've got to ask you this question. I recently wrote a blog on intuition and gut. It was actually this week's email that went out to my fan base, my subscribers. I need to ask you about gut or intuition. When was it that you finally said, I don't know what I don't know? I want you to share that with many people who listen and discount the fact that I don't need a coach. I just don't need to do any of this stuff. I'm just going to plod along in my hobby. What was your gut telling you?
My gut was telling me that I've created something that's gotten too big for me to handle. And my fear was customer service might start dropping, culture might start dipping or changing direction. So that's really kind of what led me to it is I kind of backed myself in a corner saying I've created too much too fast and I'm a little overwhelmed. I can't diagnose my way out of it. I can't replace a part or fix a crazy problem that no one else can fix out of this. It's not a vehicle anymore. It's a big machine.
Wow. How important. It's that revelation. We used to always say, it's look in the mirror. There's the problem. Recently, I just came up with a new one. Take a selfie and look at it and realize that you're the one who needs the help. If you want to sustain, as you said, heck of a great business, great customer base, you've worked so hard in the, if you will, the mill, the little mouse mill, little gopher mill, and you finally had to just jump off and say, enough is enough. let me get a control over that mill.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, if you really want to take your employees, your business, your customers to the next level, I mean, you have to turn back and really look at yourself and work on yourself and see, what am I lacking? Where do I need help? And for me, it was just basically everything on the business side is where I needed help. The stuff that happens organically from being really good at what you do, that's cool. But you will get to a point where you can only handle so many customers, so many employees, so many diagnostics, so many problem vehicles, and then you get maxed out and you need help.
Boy, I'm with you right there. 100% empathy with you. You have a beautiful place. I love your website. It's really slick. It looks very, very professional. I would like to give this shop tour. So, John, let's take a look at this video. Before we get too far in, you've got a story to tell me about this mailbox.
Everything has a story to tell, including the mailbox. That yellow gate next to it, that's to keep our front parking lot secure. It has a combo lock on it. If a customer needs a drop off, we give them the combo. The mailbox, the camshafts and pistons, that was born out of basically the pandemic. When everything was real, real crazy and everything was shut down, no one can go anywhere. And we were kind of just going crazy. We were doing landscaping at home. These guys were building things for their dogs. I mean, it was crazy. So one of the guys in the back, I had an idea to make a mailbox. Then he grabbed those pistons and started welding them together, which he didn't really know how to weld. So he, at that time, was practicing on just random scrap pieces. So that was kind of a joint collaboration of us kind of bored, for lack of a better term. And some of the guys want to learn how to weld and just grabbing stuff we had lying around and making a mailbox with it.
Nice, clean, white. The name is, it looks like it's like black on white. Really, really great contrast there. So we're walking up to, it looks like you have a gazebo. Where is this, the front of the store?
Yeah, that's the front entrance. I have a little waiting area there. That crash cart, I call it a crash cart because it literally is. It got plowed by a parts delivery driver. But anyways, that's our crash cart for floor mats, seat covers, little spray cleaners, microfiber rags, stuff like that.
Good looking logo. Like that.
The Santa Maria barbecue, we fire that up. That's kind of a California thing. I don't know if you hear it much where you're at. It's
no kidding. Yeah. No, we of course do barbecue up here, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And these are just some, when magazines used to be a thing, they're kind of not a thing anymore, but we used to do a lot of magazine articles with Diesel World and
very nice looking restroom. Very, very nice.
We do get compliments on the restroom from time to time.
Now, answer me a question. Did you build this building? Was it there for you that you moved into?
Yeah, you'd have to have a whole another episode if I explained the building situation, but I'll try and make it short. We were in a building about a quarter mile away. When it was time to renew the lease, the owner decided they wanted to sell the building at the last minute. I was not in a position to buy it. There was no buildings available whatsoever, and we were landlocked. We were possibly going to have to move far away from here, and I was devastated. We were storing vehicles at an overflow lot. The guy that managed that lot told me about the guys that were going crazy, throwing stuff, tearing stuff up, moving out of this building. And I tracked down the owner, got a hold of his agent. And before they even knew what was going on, I had an inside line to it. So before it went haywire here with the tenants, I already talked to the owner and his agent. So I actually helped rehab the building. It never went to market.
Was this a shop previous?
No, it was a logistics, like a trucking place, and they had lots of illegal activities going on. I mean, it had been raided by the FBI and DEA and all kinds of crazy things happened here. The building hadn't been maintained for like 25 years, but we had a lot of work coming in. The owner of the building worked with me, gave me some rent back on it. He used all of our contractors for his stuff. So it worked out, but it was a lot of work.
John, is that a parts person that's in that room?
We have our own parts person here. He's dedicated to just parts. He does shipping, receiving, stock orders. We're trying grooming him to do kind of dispatching the parts out of the back counter, kind of like a dealership does. Like, you know, dealerships have back counter guys. That's him right there. We don't really do retail parts. So he's basically a back counter guy plus plus. So
you got an upstairs mezzanine. How many bays?
We have 11 racks and probably 3 flat bays. All the racks are real heavy duty. The drive-on ones are 30,000 pound capacity. The two posts in the far area there that you just panned through, those are 16,000 pound challengers, and the rest are 12,000 pound rotaries, two posts.
Is the majority of your business fleet work or not?
We do a fair amount of fleet work, but it's mostly just a lot of blue collar cops, firefighters, construction workers, construction contractors, small business, some large business.
Man, look at the room you have. It's what a luxury. You literally could do ADAS calibration right there.
I don't know if our line of vehicles is going as in-depth as ADAS as the cars, but we do have that big Hunter Hawkeye Elite machine on that custom-built alignment rack. And we have to do a lot of calibrations on the late models with the factory scan tools. We're not doing the flags like the ADIS and laying all that stuff out yet.
When I see that kind of room, I immediately think of that. How many technicians are inside?
8.
Hell of a business. What's the percentage of diesel to gas?
It's got
to
be 90%, maybe 95%. It's way up there. I don't have the stats on it. That's a whole other thing, is trying to get accurate statistics on shop data is really tough.
And of course, it's California, so you've got this outdoor section here. Does it ever rain in California?
Ironically enough, we had a lot of rain this year. I mean, I'm 48 years old. I have some customers that have been living in the local foothills and mountains for the past 30, 40 years. And they basically told me it's the most snow they've ever seen in 30, 40 years. So
I love all the outside work that can happen here in California. It's so interesting.
We really only have those two overflow bays outside. The rest of it's just parking. Kind of, I guess the shelving and racks is just an area to stage large parts and I guess declutter, or try to keep it decluttered.
Wow. 13 years in business. I mean, am I right? You said 2010 you started?
Officially, this company was born in 2010, but I left the dealer probably mid-2008. I'd been doing this since I was 17 years old, so not at Ford. We primarily specialize in Ford and GM products, so that's our Ford factory scan tool, the IDS with the VCM2. So we run IDS software out of that.
A great tour, John. Thank you. Now, I've got a great, great friend who has a Ford diesel, and it's only 2 years old, and it's been in the shop so much. Timing issues, lights coming on. I think he's just about had it, and he's going to get rid of it, and he's going to go to GM. Do you hear a lot of problems with Ford diesels?
Statistically, I think there's more on the road, so you see more in shops. But I think they have the most reliable platform right now, in my opinion. And GM's pretty reliable as well, but it seems like the Fords are a little easier to get parts for, a little more support in the aftermarket. As far as licensing the scan tool, like I license my IDS scan tool and it's licensed for the whole year. I could program 500 trucks a day if I wanted to. The GM, I have to license by the VIN number. It just slows down the process. So you have to enter the VIN number, buy the VIN, unlock the VIN. The whole programming process is slower, but still the support's good for the aftermarket. It's just not as easy to obtain or work through. But some people say I have Ford brain, so I could be biased.
Wow, interesting. And they want to start charging for heated seats, right?
Yeah, my truck has heated seats and they actually broke, so I don't know.
I was just reading about that. I thought that thing died and went away, but it looks to me like they're coming back with wanting to charge subscription fees for different features that are already in your car.
Yeah, kind of like an app-based, like unlock a...
Yeah.
I heard about that, but I don't... That's interesting. I want to learn more about that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Me too. I've got to do some more research on that, but the quick research that I did read in this one particular article said that Generation Z... They don't care. They'll do a subscription because that's how they get around. Their whole world is you pay for all these apps on your phone. Why not pay for an app on your car?
Maybe it'd be easier to build. Like instead of having 5 different trim levels, everything's just built to the higher end trim level and it's all unlocked by app. Your trim level may be an app someday. Who knows?
I know. That is funny, by the way. Yeah, all of a sudden a special button just flips over and now you've got another option.
You hit your phone and go on the app and I just turned my XLT Super Duty into a Platinum.
Yeah, that's true. Because nothing is going to be as, you know, I said something crazy like a button, but you don't have a button. You're just, the TV will have, the options will appear and you just press the screen and now you've got a new option.
Well, I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to remember when VHS, like we were able to record TV on a VHS. And on TV and stuff like that was a pretty big deal. And now, like, that's pretty archaic and in the big scheme of things now.
I don't know what to do with all my VHS tapes.
Just save them. Because everyone throws them away. You might be the last person on existence with them.
You think the Smithsonian would be interested?
I don't know. But my 14-year-old daughter likes to, she likes to play CDs like it's this real nostalgic thing, right? Like, do they still make cars with CD players? They don't, huh, Dad? I'm like, not really.
Well, mine's old enough to have one. What do I have, 10-something-year-old car with a CD player? But I was looking at a CD the other day and I said, I don't know, Steely Dan's Greatest Hits or something like that. I just love that band. Why not just get that and throw it in there, even though I have a USB stick with all my songs on it? Anyway, we're talking shop, but thank you so much, John Ferguson from Domestic Diesel and Auto Service in Chino, California, right? Chino?
Yeah, Chino, California.
And it was great. I loved your tour, loved your insights into taking your intuition and figuring out how to get yourself into the level of, you know, wealth building and profitability and being a smarter, better leader. I'd love to have you back on the show and do some other stuff with us, John.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, thank you so much for your support and you have a great day. Glad we had a chance to see inside your place.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.